Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I can't get enough of that track right there. Yo, once again, I want to give a shout out, as always, to my brother, Hectic, from Blacktivity, who makes these incredible tracks. We've always been making, great, hip hop. And, even R&B music, like, he's just good with it. So, I get zoned out when I hear that, and step back into my former life sometimes when I was MCing. And I just be tempted to just jump on that shit and be like, wow! But, then I'm like, I got to compose myself because I got a show to do. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. What up, Hack? Love you, brother. Love you. What up, man? What's going on? What's going on, Red?
Just maintaining, just chilling, man. Like as usual. Like I got to be on the, on the smooth tip.
Nah, I feel you. I was on Hot Rod Sean Black, K Dog. Absolute truth. Monday night, yes, 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I was on the show last night, and, they was touching on, the topic. And, of course, we're going to get into it, but, I just kind of want to, of course, when I get into it, I want to take it to another level. So I say that to say this. Listen, people are going to hear what they want to hear. Like, I don't really believe that we live in a time where you can just say something or talk about something that people actually listen and mentally interpret it for what it really is, like what you're really saying. Instead, they just hear what you say and then they turn it into, something, of course, in which they get offended to. And they misconstrue it and say, oh, no, this is what you said. And I'm like, no, that's not what I said. That's what you're saying, I said. So, right. No matter how delicate I try to put things, people are just, or respectful. People are going to twist it. So, tonight is going to be one of those nights where people probably will twist it. And let me just tell you right now in the beginning, I really don't care. Am I a racist? No. Do I dislike anyone? No. Not because of your ethnic background or your culture. I just may dislike you because maybe you're an asshole or you've been an asshole to me. So maybe that's the real reason I wouldn't like you, because your color has nothing to do with it. Your culture or your background has nothing to do with it. But there are some questions.
People, they'll put it that way because, once again, it's a thing. It's an excuse. It's it's an excuse. I'm going to say that, I'm going to, put that out there because, I don't like what you said, so now I'm going to make you seem like you're a certain type of person. No, don't do that, because you are making a mistake doing that.
Yeah.
That's all
but
I'll
you know
say.
What?
You're making a mistake doing that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Once again, we live in a society where now where it doesn't matter who you say you are. It's who people perceive you to be. So to hell
right.
with the fact of who you say you are. It doesn't matter. You're just going to be what everybody else feels you are, and that's that. Like
right.
you, what you say, once again, what you say does not matter unless it's what the majority agrees with.
Right.
Then it's okay. If no one agrees with you, then it's like, no, you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
I don't uh-huh. believe what you're saying. You could say, yeah. I just stubbed my toe and it hurts. No, you didn't. No, you're not in pain. I'm telling you I'm in pain. No, you're not in pain. You're okay.
All right.
I don't believe you. Yeah, so, you know,
right.
it is what it is. But, you know, we definitely got, you know, two hot topics that we're going to, you know, get into tonight. And, yeah, but, you know, before we do all that, yo, what's up, everybody? The Menu. Big Red Brother B in the house. The menu on Blog Talk Radio. What's up? What's up, world? How you guys doing? Last time I checked, Kenya was checking it. What's up, Kenya? I mean, I don't mean a person. I actually mean the country. Yeah, Kenya. Yeah. So, I mean, some people may think something else, but I mean Kenya, the country. Like, yo, what's up, Kenya? What's going on? Thank you for the love and the shout. You know, thank you for the, you know, for listening to us, you know, very much appreciate it. And even though, like, we're really on some different time zones, we do appreciate
they hear
the
us
love
though.
And the support. Yeah. Real talk.
They hear us though.
I hope you're listening to us while you having that donut or that morning coffee or maybe that afternoon snack or whatever. You know, and hey, you know, thank you. We very, 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 very much appreciate it. So once again, it's Big Red Brothers B in the house. The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. Guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. And you can catch us on Facebook at The Menu, Mind Your Mental, MindURMENTAL, and Instagram at The Menu, Mind Your Mental. MindURMENTAL. Drop us comments, show ideas, just say hi, you know, it's cool. What up? We appreciate it. It's all love. Love is love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Red, it's been quite an eventful week, an eventful past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, been revisiting this whole Roe versus Wade thing. And, yeah, then we also had another mass shooting.
Yeah, another
mass shooting. And this one obviously was, you know, racially motivated and, you know, sometimes you just don't know where to begin.
No.
But maybe I should begin and say rest in peace to the 11 people that lost their lives. Get well
Absolutely.
Soon to the 3 people, you know, that were injured. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a Saturday, people are going shopping, and then you hear about, you know, a mass shooting. And then what's even more disturbing, you hear about the shooter was some, 18-year-old kid, white male, 18 years old, and he was taken in alive. You know, so when I first heard it, that's how it was, you know, it came over to me. 18-year white male, 18 years old, taken in alive. Now, taken in alive really didn't surprise me. It really didn't surprise me.
what, you know, like I said, I'm just so sick of hearing, you know, I'm sick of his, this happening. And once again, like I said, they, you know, you do, and it's like now it's being, like an excuse is being made for why they're doing it. So how come they get an excuse when, like I said, our people don't do that. And I'm going to say that's right. Our people don't do that. Or you haven't heard of our people doing that. But when the crack epidemic was around, we didn't get excuses. Just put them in jail, throw the mothers, in, you know, the mothers to crack, you know, mothers that were on crack out of baby. Oh, no, you can't keep your baby. Oh, let me take your baby. No, you didn't make excuses for us. So why is it that they're getting so many excuses now? You want to use mental health, all their mental health. We have mental health issues too, but you don't see none of our people running into schools and grocery stores and pinpointing and pointing certain places to kill people. We're not doing that. So what's the problem? We're not doing that. So what's the problem? And then you get apprehended. Not killed, but apprehended. And get driven to McDonald's and Burger King and stuff like that. But, okay, all I did was put my hands up and say, I put my hands up and I'm dead.
Well,
there's a problem
right
here. There's a problem.
Well, what up, 6947 and 9629? Does anyone have anything to add briefly?
9629 in the house. 9629?
Yeah, you are, sir.
It's me, Ben.
Oh, Brother Ben. What's up, brother? How you doing? Thank you. Listen, to those who don't know, Ben is a childhood friend, and he's like the number one Spanish dude that I've ever known who was on BMX bikes. Like, he's like great. Like, I didn't want to mess with bikes after, you know, Ben rode on the bike. Like, he just did incredible stuff. What's up, Ben, man? How you doing, brother?
I appreciate that, brother.
Hello, man. I really do, man. I miss you, man. Yeah, likewise. We need to get that reunion going on again.
Yes, sir.
From school.
You sure do, man.
Yeah, 6947, you on the air, what's up?
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
Oh, it's Miss Cherry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Cherry. Miss
Cherry. Why do I feel like you
right
miss me?
We do.
What'd you say?
We do. We miss you. Of course we miss you.
Yeah, I said, why?
Yeah, you should tell us. You know,
I feel like y'all miss me.
No, we do. So listen, I gotta ask this question because this is something that you know, I brought up last night on you know, I guess you call our kinfolk show, Absolute Truth. So when you were saying, Red, about the whole thing of mental health, right? Now I'm gonna throw this at Ben, and then Miss Cherry can, you know, jump in. So do are we really fooling ourselves by thinking or saying that it's a mental health issue to a group of people who really don't believe that they have these issues? Like, what do you, like, do you, like, I mean, do you really believe the hype that they're saying? Then, like, you know, this, because I saw some interview and they were really trying to paint the picture of this kid having some mental issues, and you know, he, something was not right, and he actually pled not guilty. He's pleading not guilty.
Wow.
So, what do you think about that?
I mean, you know, it's kind of like the same thing when, you know, like in movies when the couple is cheating. And the spouse walks in and they go, I can explain.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar. You know, it's like, what are you explaining? You know what you're doing. You know, so the whole action of this child, you know, I call him a child. He's 18 years old. You know, He pre-planned this. If you're mentally sick, you would walk into that supermarket and start screaming, not shooting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, a mental disabled person doesn't drive 200 miles to a destination that he picked to shoot black people.
Uh-huh.
Someone with mental disorder doesn't know how to go from here to two blocks. This kid drove 200 miles. 200. It's like, and he never stopped saying, "Damn, you know what? I'm gonna kill like innocent people." What? Nothing. He was on a mission. And he went there. So every time a lot of people say he got mental issues, no. He knew what he was doing. That's what kills me. You know, like, if, you know, someone crazy or insane, whatever, okay, you can give him the benefit of the doubt. The dude had a semi-automatic, I think, guns like that.
He had a rifle.
He had a rifle. And got out the car, clicked it back, boom, first victim, ba-bow. And went inside, and kept shooting. And shooting after 200 miles driving. So the mental thing for me is people that can't clean themselves, that, you know, like dementia. And, of course, you don't suffer from that. Okay. Not to say that 18-year-olds wouldn't suffer from it, but dementia is usually targeted towards older people. So
yeah, but they, even older people don't go out and do stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. No. You're right. You're 100% correct, brother. And this thing was just mind-boggling because I hear all the, oh, he should be put in the hospital. Why? He shouldn't be put in the hospital. You know, he's smart enough to go, I'm not guilty.
Well,
which is beyond bizarre.
I got to pass it to Miss Cherry. But before I do pass it to Miss Cherry, because, you know, Mr. Joe is in the house. So, you know, you got to let Mr. Joe get some burn.
Mr. Joe?
Hey, brother B. Hello,
weapon,
people.
How you doing, Joe?
The weapon was modified. So there isn't too much of a, I can, you know, plead, you know, not guilty by way of insanity or, you know, some mental health defect. No. He bought the weapon. The weapon was modified. You know, that's just that. So, but, you know, Miss Cherry, take it away. Go ahead.
Okay. So I lived in Buffalo, and I actually shopped at that store when I lived in Buffalo. So I took it real personal. When I saw the news, I was calling my college friends, and we were talking about the days where we used to have to go up in there and get our groceries. And, you know, this could have actually happened at any time. I'm getting ready to say something real controversial, but I don't think he was mental at all, because I think about a year ago he had threatened to come in and shoot up his school, his high school. And at that point he was referred for mental health counseling. So the comment that I'm getting ready to make is, if he is mentally ill and they have treated him and he was not able to be cured, what do we do with him? Do we allow him to continue to receive treatment that's not effective, or do we make him no longer a threat for the average person walking around on the street? That's my take. At a certain point, when we send people to jail, we send them so that they can be reformed, hopefully get out and start making better decisions. But when you've already given someone that chance and they haven't been able to do it, what do you do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm for the death penalty in New York State, because if we had it, I don't think we would be dealing with facing pain for him to sit up in prison or he's going to wind up being on death row, if anything, and isolation and protected for the rest of his life on my salary. I don't think that's fair. Mm-hmm. But my only point is, if he was diagnosed as mentally ill and he's gone through all the treatments and they have not worked, and as a result of them not working, a year or something later, he goes up, and I think I also heard he had planned to kill all these people in Buffalo, and then if he was not caught, he was headed to New York City to start shooting up a school.
Wow.
So, yeah, they found, I think in his manifesto, he
his
had
manifesto.
Plans not just to stop there. So if you can see someone that cannot be cured of their illness, or if you want to call it illness, hatred, whatever you want to call it, we tried it and it doesn't work, what are we doing? Keeping him alive just to keep him alive?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jones.
Well, this is the shooting in Buffalo. The only thing I know about it is that I heard that there was a manifesto up on the net, and people are trying to make him turn him into a Trump supporter. They were saying that this guy was an ultra-right-wing extremist, when in his manifesto he was somebody who didn't like Trump and didn't like the Republican Party. So since I'm interested in political matters, that's what caught my attention. Now, what I didn't know was that, who was it that was saying that this guy drove 200 miles?
Ben. Oh, that was me.
That was
Ben.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, mm-hmm. Ben? That was, yeah. I didn't know about that. And I'm thinking, if this guy took the time to drive 200 miles, the guy's absolutely out of his mind. Definitely a mental case.
He drove and reconned. He did some recon on the area.
Yeah. So he's, how many stable people do that?
Right.
Nobody. So to me, it seems like the guy had to be mentally unstable. Now, what Ms. Cherry brought up is a good point. Are you going to continue, if he was receiving treatment, are you going to continue administering treatment that doesn't work, or are you going to kill him? I'm for the death penalty myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognize the fact that there, I think the Innocence Project has taken something like 40 people off of death row over the years. 40 people who have been convicted of a crime that they didn't commit. This guy, of course, he committed the crime. He caught him, you know, or you know, got him on tape, or whatever happened to the guy. I don't know. I saw the headline. I knew about the manifesto, and I just went on to do something else. Because mass shootings are so popular nowadays, it's just like, you know, twice a year, normal. So
right. And yeah, that's the problem.
That's the
problem.
And that's the sad part about it.
It's
yep,
become
that
normal.
I think it's a little different in his case because he actually live streamed it. So it's no one is trying to decide if he did it. They don't need evidence. He provided it. He provided his plan book, his manifesto. He taped himself doing it live. I mean,
right.
Why are we going through this trial? It's just costing taxpayers a lot of money, and there is no confusion. There are people that can identify him. He identified himself. He actually broadcast and shared his proof, and it just does not make any sense why we're going through all this.
Because you have to go through the process. You have to go through the process
of
that
trial.
He has to go through the process so that they can find a reason to justify. There's no controversy as to whether or not he did it. Now we can say he's mentally ill. So because he's mentally ill, he really didn't know what he was doing when he plotted it. I think I had read that he had actually plotted to carry this out in March, and he drove all the way to Buffalo, and he bumped into this black man, and they were talking about politics and stuff like that, and I guess he got cold feet and he left. And then he went back home and he plotted some more and carried it out this time. So if all of these things are correct in what they're saying, what do we need to find him guilty? I mean, how much more do you need?
And that's the whole thing.
These criminals,
and you're right, because it's the laws in our country where the criminal has to have a trial. You know, obviously we're not a third world. I'm not disagreeing with anything you said, sister. I'm just going by mm-hmm. what I know, you know, and I agree with you 100%. And in this country is there's too much slaps in the hand. Don't do that again. There's too much of that. And this is the reason why these guys are continuously doing this constantly, day in and day out. You know, I'll give you a very, very quick example. I went through a divorce, right? And my then wife was dating this white guy who was a drug addict, all right? My uncle at the time was a homicide detective. And he calls me while I'm at work. He says, "You got to come and get your daughter. Something happened at the house." And I knew. And at the time, my then wife and my daughter lived in Staten Island, and I had moved back to Queens. And I said, and in the car, I was so angry. I was so angry. And Byron, to tell you, I wouldn't hurt a fly. Right, Byron?
Yes.
I'm not like that. Yes. I'm not like that.
Good guy.
At all.
Push that button.
But when it comes to my kid,
yep.
I was like, I was in the car like, I'm going to beat this motherfucker. I was, the whole ghetto kick out of me. I'm in the car. I'm going to punch him in his head. I'm going to kick his ass. I'm going to drag him all over the street. I'm going to beat him. And I kept repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And then when I got to Staten Island, I said, you know what? If I do this to him, how is my daughter going to benefit?
Yep.
Yeah. Now her daddy's locked up for assault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought,
yeah.
Logically, I said, beating his ass ain't going to do nothing for me, but just a minute satisfaction for the moment. But now mm-hmm. I got to go through this whole entire process as to why I assaulted this man. And he never touched my daughter. Look at that. He ended up beating up my ex-wife. So, and then I found that later. So, but I didn't think about my ex-wife. I thought about my kid. So mm-hmm. this is why I said, and I didn't even drive 200 miles. I drove from Queens to Staten Island in New York. That's all I drove. Homeboy drove from 200 miles and never sat and stopped and pulled over and said, Jesus Christ, if I do this, I'm 18 years old, I'm going to kill all these people. You know, I'm never going to see the sunlight, like, you know, not once. So there's when they have to ask the question, like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Well,
you know, so,
I'll say this.
It's crazy.
I'll say this, brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, Red or whoever, you know, step in and correct me at any time. This is my thing. I no longer look at it as any mental issues.
Right.
Let's believe that there are some individuals, whether they're in regular clothes, have no jobs, have jobs, law enforcement jobs, you know, doctors, lawyers, there are people that agree with what he has done and they hail him a hero. The people that are going to support him and feel that he did the right thing. Now, some of them may not say it out loud, but trust me, he has some supporters. Some of those people are the same people who arrested him. Some of those people support the actions that he did. And it's not a thing of where it's about killing people, but it's really more on the lines of accomplishing the agenda. So no matter what happens, the agenda, you know, there's an agenda. And he had an agenda. He still has an agenda, but he had the agenda. And he followed through, and he completed his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, there are people out there who feel he's a hero. So there is no mental issue. Because the history of violence in this country, and we've spoken about this before on Red, right, on other shows,
yep.
The history of violence in this country, what he did was okay. By some lines, there are people out there, there are politicians out there feel that what he did is okay. That's why they're not going to address it. They're not worried about it. It was a bunch of black people. Who cares? It's not like it was a black man or a Spanish man that walked in the store and did that. Then they would be screaming about gun control. But you don't blame the guns. You have to look at the person who did it.
Uh-huh.
And it's sad that we have to do this whole white and black thing. When
every time
it is, it but
wait,
it's,
can I
it's
can
we
just
do it
with something you just said? You just said it's not the guns, it's the people. But the truth is, if there are no guns, people don't get shot.
Do you really think we're going to live in a country where guns don't exist? I mean, come on now, really. Do you really think that people are going to actually put their fists up and fight people? Listen, I carry a gun for a living. To me,
I think the accountability for when you choose to use that gun in an inappropriate way should be stronger. So they should make it so uncomfortable for you that I was just listening to this 11-year-old get shot coming home in Brooklyn yesterday. Whoever shot her should have a fear of having that gun on them. Not just, you know, broad daylight shooting up the place because they don't like this one or that one. They have it now where if you shoot somebody, maybe you're mentally ill, maybe they give you some medicine, you go away for a couple of weeks or a month or maybe a year, and you're back out on the street.
Blame the politicians.
Because we do have so many mentally ill people out there, and the access to get the guns are not controlled. The only thing you can do, you're dealing with a baby. If the baby is in danger, sometimes you have to take away the dangerous thing until they can learn.
Right.
Okay. Before Mr. Joe jumps in, I have to say this. We have to stop it. We have to change the language. It is not a mental health issue. No, it is not. Mm-hmm. These people are waking up, getting out of their beds, making toast, drinking tea, coffee, going to get sandwiches. This is something that they do on purpose. This is not a mental issue. They made a conscious and clear choice to do what they did. They go out there to kill someone. They go out there to hurt someone. This is not a mental issue. It's not. It's not a mental defect.
That's the sad part about it. They're using that.
Exactly.
They want to start using that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but they want to start using that because they figure, okay, we can give them an excuse now for doing what they're doing. So this way, okay, this one don't get in trouble. Oh, this is the mob. We apprehended him. No, it's not fair. And it's like, why isn't anybody looking at that? That's not fair.
Mr. Joe.
At all.
It's true.
For me, it's totally mental. Because even if you're doing it deliberately, you are mentally unstable. Doesn't mean you are going to go from one place to another place and be in an unconscious state from that place, from place A to place B. You know what you're doing. But you're an unstable, psychologically psychotic individual who deserves treatment. Doesn't mean, though, that, this person has had so much trauma when they were a kid that we're going to let them go. They put, from what I understand, some people would rather go to prison than go to a psychiatric hospital. They'll put you away for life in a psychiatric hospital. And it's like being, abused the whole time. The thing is that people who are mentally ill should get treatment, because if they don't get treatment, then mental illness is going to spread because the politicians will allow it. The politicians are, first off, I want everybody to have access to guns. Do you know that more crimes are stopped by people who have guns than by cops? Okay?
I believe
cops
it.
Don't stop
no,
crimes.
Joe. No, I don't agree, Joe. You need to come to New York, Joe. You need to visit
Look
New York,
it up.
Joe.
Look right. it up.
Well, you know what? You
more
know
crimes. More crimes are stopped by people who pull out their guns than by the cops. The cops do not stop crime.
They don't arrive until the crime is over. That's why.
That's right.
But as far as,
wait a minute.
Do you know how many crimes are solved by cops? How many crimes are solved by cops?
Well, look at it like this.
Solved?
If more people had guns, do you think criminals would be out there doing what they do?
Yes. We see it right now with the ghost guns in New York. Is crime down from before they were easy access?
Oh, it's the politicians. It's not the guns.
It's the availability of the guns. combined with
just
no
availability,
sort of accountability
or big red whoever.
For your actions.
It's not just the availability. It's the fact that you can get away with literally with murder. You can shoot somebody, and you can get out of the precinct before the cop fills out the DD-5. Okay.
Okay. So check this out. This kid. Now, one thing that we can't go around is the fact that the year before, this kid was what happened. Red. He the police picked him up because he made a threat against his high school. Why was he allowed to buy a firearm?
He didn't.
Why not?
His mother
that's the question. Oh, his mother bought it. Now, so is it safe to say? Is it safe to say maybe some of these parents should be held accountable? Just like Rittenhouse, his parents bought the gun, or somebody bought the gun for him. Like, shouldn't these people be held accountable for someone else buying the weapon, whether it's parents or, you know, a friend or something like that? Because this is
Yeah, they should. Well, they should. I think that's another thing that should, like, it already is happening. So guess what? So now you're still going out there doing the same thing. It should be they should do that, because this way maybe if you do that, maybe you can stop this from happening.
That's not going to have any effect whatsoever. If you have a gun and you have a gun rack and you've taught your children how to take down the gun, how to clean it, how to make sure
that
it's safe.
Yeah, but isn't that for hunting? Okay, let me ask you a question. Aren't they doing that for hunting? Isn't that supposed to be for hunting and stuff like that?
If they took the gun down because your kid is mentally unstable, he's going to use a legitimate gun to do an illegitimate act. And again, if the criminal wants a gun, he's going to get a gun. Not going to stop him.
That means okay.
Yeah.
And going back to the trial thing. Not just because the law, but if you do not have a trial, if you automatically assume that the government can discern whether or not somebody's guilty before you go to trial, guess how many people in this country are going to be guilty? Everybody.
Mm-hmm. So Ben.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you really think it's a mental issue thing?
You know, like I said it before, you know, it's all about the person and their self-control. You know, I can speak for myself. I have self-control. You know, I didn't have a gun when I was going to the situation I told you about earlier with my ex-wife and her boyfriend. I didn't have a gun, you know. If I did have a gun, I probably would be saying, I shoot him, I kill him. But then, you know, I stop to think and say, you know what, if I do this, you know, he's not assaulting me and this and that. I always think it's a personal decision. And, you know, I don't know, but I just feel like mentally, you know, you have to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should be able to make that decision. You should be able, you know, it's just a weird thing. It's like, why did you do it? Oh, because I wanted to and this and that and the whole third. Like, what mission did this kid have shooting in Buffalo? What mission? He had none. He just wanted to do it. You know,
he had the word, the N-word, you know, written on his rifle.
Right, he did. You know, and so it's like, and despite all of that, not defending him, no way. Despite that, 200 miles, stop and think for a second, man. You know, just stop.
He thought about it. He thought about it. That's why he kept driving.
It was premeditated. Yes, it was premeditated.
Yes.
And he thought about it, and his actions, his mission was done, and he did it. So, you know, my thing is, you can play crazy tomorrow. I can go to work and throw chairs and act like a nut, and people go, oh, my God, Ben has changed. He's crazy. Put him in a mental hospital. Meanwhile, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm throwing all these chairs around, you know, and acting a fool. Meanwhile, this July, I made 25 years of my job. Well, all of a sudden, I lost it. So,
and there's no excuse.
There's no excuse for it. I went into my job after 25 years. I'm throwing chairs. I'm beating up my supervisor. I'm burning stuff on the job. And, oh, Ben has gone mental. He's got to go. It's always quickly to blame mental issues. It's always, it's mm-hmm. always. And I understand. Joe is his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Joe,
I respect his opinion. I understand exactly what he's saying, you know. But it's like, it's just a weird thing because if you know what you're doing, then it's not a mental thing. It's a mental thing because you know what you're doing, obviously. You know, let me backtrack. But to say that you suffer from it mentally, no way. I'm not targeting Joe. I'm just saying for me. You know.
Well, I think what they're trying to do.
But
I
that's
mean,
my point.
Go ahead before K Dog jumps in. The thing is this: you can't keep using the mental issue defense, because then that means mm-hmm. anything that a select person does. See, certain people can get away with it; certain people can't. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like certain people
exactly.
can use that defense, and certain people can't. Like, you cannot sit there and have some type of sympathy for some 18-year-old kid. I mean, like, Ben, when we were 18, what the hell were we doing? Like, you know, being happy we're getting out of freaking high school and, you know, trying to figure out our lives and other shit. And this kid is throwing
exactly.
on body armor and with a modified assault weapon, and he's going to shoot up black people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no if it's clear cut. And to be honest with you, death penalty, to me in this situation, death is too good for him. If there was some other method of whether it be torture or something else, death is just too good. That's too easy because he's already
right.
accepted his consequence. He's already accepted his fate. Once he decided to go do what he did, he doesn't care about his life. He's not worried about it. He's going to probably wind up getting a Happy Meal just like, you know, Dylan Roof did, you know, before they took his ass away. He sat down, this kid sat down with people in the church, prayed with them, and then killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really mental, or is it just that these people are just evil? And evil is what it is. I don't want to see any pictures of this kid when he was little, when he was 5 years old, riding on the bike. I don't want to see any goddamn pictures of the kid. The man, this man, even, I mean, I get you, Ben, you call him a kid, but this young man went out there and just did some video game shit on live living people.
Then so
he
many
just,
people
he did some video game
that.
Shit. Yeah, and
a lot
that's
of people
the sad
was
part.
Saying
he
that,
did
yeah.
it, and he it was on, he chose to live stream it because he just said, hey, the world is going to see what I'm going to do. One of the things is, and I have a problem with, and K-Dog, let me know how you feel about it. There's a portion of this country that touts these people as heroes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they keep doing it. That's why it keeps happening. Whether it's him or whether it's someone else, these mass shooters, there's nothing that's done to them except for just going to jail. Going to jail and just something, that ain't shit. You
There's
get
nothing.
Medical, you get access to education, you get all types of shit. Jail isn't shit to these people. That's why they keep
Not
doing
all.
It. There's no real consequence. There's no real repercussions. There's nothing you can do to them. Listen, you can't do shit to a person that's willing to sacrifice themselves for their own cause. Anything you do has to mean nothing. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong, K-Dog?
Nope. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm listening to
good evening. Good evening.
And listen, there's, as for this mental illness, bullshit. Kill it. There was no mental illness in this murderer.
Right.
Peyton Gentrum, 18-year-old male. Did you know that he explained his twisted thinking in a racist manifesto? And it talked about the replacement of white people, the threat of replacement of white people in America. Listen, we got to look at it like this. There's no mental illness when it comes to someone who has a racist, who shows a racist tirade on social media, he wrote it, and also he meant what he did, you
right.
know, 200 miles away, and he even came to the town in March to check it out. He even spoke mm-hmm. to a black man in the, like, a day before and asked him, oh, are you going to be here tomorrow? The black man said no. He walked
oh, yeah,
in
the
mm-hmm.
real tall brother. That
unbelievable.
Tall brother.
Yeah, the real tall
brother. The guy with
brother,
the hat.
Yeah.
The guy with the hat.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
He approached
yep.
him.
He talked to him. He talked to him in the bench.
He asked him if he's going to be there tomorrow.
Yep, he did.
And he wasn't there. He went
right.
in there with an intention. He came in there with an intention. And you know what the intention was? To kill black people. 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
10 people between the ages of 20 to 86. 10 Jeez. People went in there to go and shop. 10 people who were in there, you know, doing what they do, you know, just to buy groceries.
Every,
buy
right, every other day.
Every uh-huh. other day. And you murdered them.
Right.
That was your intention.
Yep.
There was no mental illness in this. This
that's
was
the key word.
Flat out racist.
That's the key word. Intention.
That's the key
that's
word.
A, that's
and
the
it's
word.
Sad that,
yeah, yeah.
that you, this is. This is the thing, and I have to tell it like it is, you know, because, okay, when, okay, a murders are wrong. Look at when that shooter happened on the train, black shooter, they said, oh, he's a terrorist. But yet,
right.
this kid, but yet a white kid, and I'm not, and trust me, I'm not saying anything racist, I'm keeping it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
When this white male, because, you know, they always called him, you know, they called Michael Brown
boy,
a
yeah.
black male. But yet this is a white male who actually wrote a racist manifesto. It was all planned. And not to mention, he passed the background check to get the gun to AR-15 to walk in there and murder people. He meant
well,
to.
All right. All right. Well, check this out.
So,
hold on, Mr. Cherry, real quick. So, would it be safe to say that maybe we need to start looking a little deeper than just him? And I'm not big on politics. I know Mr. Joe is, but we also have to start looking at some of the individuals that fan the flames for this type
oh,
of thing.
Oh, there's plenty
happen.
Of fanning flames. In fact, one
there's
of them
a lot of,
was
a
Tucker
lot of
Carlson.
Politicians.
Tucker
there's
Carlson,
a lot of politicians
who fanned the flame.
And
you
people.
Know what? And I know a lot of, oh, it's not true. Yes, it is. Because you know what? There are people out there. Racist, let me tell you something about racism. Nobody is born a racist.
Nope.
It is something that is taught to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
It is an ideology that anybody could implant in someone's brain from
well,
the time, even grown adults.
It's also an ideology to sit back and have people thinking like, oh, you're trying to replace us. Listen, let me have
exactly.
you understand.
That's how it is.
And
yeah.
this is not aimed at, you know, anyone in particular. But
no
one's trying to replace anybody. People are just getting up trying
no.
to live their goddamn lives. Like, people are just – COVID is still around, but we went through a pandemic. People are just getting back to living.
Right.
Excuse me,
people
want to
live. People
want to
enjoy life.
Who the fuck is trying to replace you? Who the fuck is trying,
no
to,
trying
replace
to replace
anybody?
Anybody.
People
yeah,
just
that's
live.
What I
don't
so, and you know
so,
what it is?
So
it's
getting
like
this shit in your head and spreading this type of bullshit propaganda, stop
it. Oh, yeah, racist propaganda, and it's sad because you know what? You spread this racist propaganda – and giving people ideas because, you know, when you come out with something and, you know, you can influence anybody with your ideology and say, hey, you know what, let's do this to this person because I don't, you know what, because of your hatred towards a particular race, you'll fan the flames easily. You'll spread propaganda. You'll do anything. You'll talk. And now with social media, people use social media as a platform to promote this kind of nonsense.
Yeah. Let me toss. I got to
right.
toss to Miss Cherry. what you were going to say, Ms. Cherry. I'm sorry.
So two things. First, I'm going to address something to Ben with his story, and then I'll make a comment about what we're talking about. So, Ben, thank you for sharing, because as you were telling your story, I think that I'm going to assume you're mature. A lot of us are reacting.
He's very mature.
Right?
He's more mature than me. More mature than me.
Yep.
So a lot of us are reactionary, right? You got, like you said, you got that phone call. You were ready to knock heads. But on your way over there, your whole reason for going over there was you wanted to protect your daughter, make sure
right.
she was safe, make sure that she wasn't going to be hurt. And if you would have reacted the way that you wanted to, you would have done the opposite. They would have locked you up, and your daughter
mm-hmm.
would have been vulnerable. Anybody mm-hmm. could have went up to her, and you couldn't do anything because you couldn't be there for her. You're locked up in jail.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of times when we as people, we get angry and we react, we don't think of the long-term effects that that have on our children, you know, especially our black males,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ones that are incarcerated. If you're saying that you're doing this to protect your child, you're doing the opposite. You're taking
right.
yourself as a buffer, and you're putting yourself away so that anybody and anything can come to them, and you're not there. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make that comment about that. My second comment is I feel almost like I know we don't have the death penalty here, but I definitely our laws are very soft as far as accountability. And as bad as this sounds, I thought about what could you do to someone who is mentally ill, and you know that they don't understand or they cannot get better even with treatment. You have,
hold
to,
on,
you
Ms.
have
Sherry,
to put them in a position. Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Yes?
It's selective.
Uh-huh.
Let's just be honest. What you just said is selective. It's not a negative on what you're saying, but treatment and certain things, when it comes down to accountability, it's selective. Because if me or Ben would have did that, no holds barred. We would have been under the jail. They would have took. We
would
have never made it.
You wouldn't even be alive because
yeah.
you know what?
Yeah,
the minute the cops would have got there, they would have shot you
but,
up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. My point that I was going to make is maybe we should start looking at some sort of corporal punishment where you don't have the ability to make a decision, but you can still hurt people. Something like taking away your trigger finger. Now, as brutal as that sounds, you can't shoot without a trigger finger. So maybe you're not able to make that decision and say, this is wrong.
I take off the whole hand.
The trigger. They do it in some countries.
I take off the whole damn hand.
It identifies the thief from down the block. You missing an arm, you missing an arm for a reason. But maybe you take something like a trigger finger, as well as now you have to have that mental health rehab. You know, you don't have the ability, and we're going to treat you, and you're no longer a threat to society as being one of your punishments. And people don't feel comfortable with that. But what are the other alternatives? Like, we've already treated this kid so many times, and he's not getting better. So you have
right.
to take away his ability to be a threat to other people.
Absolutely.
Was he really treated?
Absolutely.
Was he really treated or just slap on the wrist? It was just a
slap on the wrist.
It,
he got a slap in the wrist,
slap
man.
The wrist.
Come
he
on.
He got a slap on the wrist. Yeah, it was a slap on the wrist because he threatened his high school. Because, see, once again, mm-hmm. it must be okay. It must be okay because, it's clear that the kid is a racist. So nine times out of ten, he went to a school that was predominantly white, right? So he was even willing to shoot up his own damn high school. So
mm-hmm.
whether he was racist or not or whatever, there is an issue in which, of course, they are not going to hold him accountable. Because if they were, they would have taken his threat very seriously and they would have did something to him. But they didn't. They just said, "Oh, he's some clown kid playing around. Grow up, get out of here," and let his parents and gave him back to his parents. But look what he did.
Sorry.
And see, it doesn't really matter because he didn't do it to his own. He did it to some other people. He did it to black people.
Yeah, right.
So they really doesn't care. It's okay.
I just think that a form of corporal punishment, not just you go in jail, you disappear.
Too
you don't
many
know what
civil liberties.
Right,
crooks
right
have
now,
rights.
There's so much right now we're spending so much time trying to figure out who he is. No one should care. All we should care about
are those
people that lost their lives. And the only thing we should care about is making sure that he's not in that position. As bad as it sounds, with the corporal punishment, I think it should be public. You know, you do this.
It's not going to happen.
Now we're going to take your trigger finger. We're going to take your trigger in public so that if the next person thinks about it, they know what they can expect if we catch them. Nobody wants to
lose lips. Now, there's someone listening to this and saying, oh, my God, she's a barbarian. But wait a minute. He drove how many miles to go kill people?
200 miles.
And if he didn't get caught, he was going to do it again. But he's not a barbarian. He just has to mental issues.
He knew what he was doing.
Miss Cherry, but Miss Cherry, speaking her mind. Listen, Miss Cherry, make no mistake. I 100% agree with you. But you said a finger. I would have took off a hand, an arm. You know, like you said, in some countries, you rape a girl, they cut it off. You steal,
they cut it off.
They take off a couple of fingers. Mm-hmm. You keep stealing, they take off a hand. So, but of course, in this country, in this system here, everything is, oh no, you can't do this. Criminals
or
have more rights than some people in the street.
Criminals have a lot of rights. Put it on a stump as an example.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, with that being said, the power is really in the hands of the criminal, is not the people.
Not at all.
And that's
the fear
that people have. Yes.
You know what's also crazy is everything that you do as a criminal is documented. Anything that you are attempting to do is documented. Okay? So if you guys mentioned about that, which I did read, that he wanted to shoot up his high school, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First. They put him in a mental place, whatever. They examined him. It's documented. Right there, just with that first act, should be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be left alone. And then there was two other incidents, I believe, or one more. And everything is documented. You know, Ben said he wanted to kill his coworker, documented. Oh, he wanted to shoot up the post office, but he didn't, documented. So why is it those red flags taken more seriously is my thing. It's because this system is so shitty that they let these criminals run rampant. And it's almost like they're allowing it because it's like, you know what, we need less of a population. You know, and that's just my crazy way of thinking. It's on paper. So how do you let this person run amok?
Crime pays. Literally, crime pays.
No, of course.
If there would be no system if it wasn't for the criminals.
If it was for the criminals.
So they have to allow something in order to get something back. Listen. If there wasn't no crime, if there wasn't no shooters or assaults or rapists, law enforcement, listen, during the pandemic, I remember reading NYPD had no work. During the pandemic, there was nothing going on, no crime, no nothing.
Nothing.
They didn't have no damn nothing to do because everybody was basically in the damn house.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we got to get back to, got to make money. We need crime. We need things going on. I mean, listen, to some it may sound crazy, but listen, what's crazy is this kid pleading not guilty. That's crazy. And someone actually accepting the plea of not guilty. That's crazy. To accept him saying, he's not guilty, that's crazy.
Well, let me just say this.
What he did was saying to his level, what he did was saying to his level and the people like him who have that agenda, just like the person that was in California and he killed the other mass shooter, and the church people, you know, held him at bay.
Because he had an issue because he hated people from Taiwan. The shooter that did that committed that crime, he hated people. He had an issue with people from Taiwan. That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
And now with this shooter from Buffalo...
so we have a system So we have a system that's quick to go after some, you know, rap artists when they talk shit in their songs. We have a system that's quick to, you know, to go after, you know, certain people, you know, whether they want to raise their profile, you know, Arabs, you know, Arab, you know, other people, Indians and stuff like that. But we have a system that's not going to go after young white male mass shooters or mass shooters. They're not going to do it. That's just not the system's way.
And that's why they're going to keep getting away with it, and they know that.
Okay.
They know it.
So with that being said,
I don't know if anybody saw his arraignment, but I thought a couple of things jumped out as a little weird to me. He came in there with that little paper suit on with no shoes or anything, barefooted, and they said they placed him on suicide watch, which actually what they did was they put him in isolation so he couldn't be with the general population. So they did him a favor. But, but the thing that caught my attention was he had a metal bracelet on. Who goes into isolation due to suicide, but you leave them with metal on their wrist? Who are they trying to fool? I saw it, and I was like, this is a joke. He is sitting there with a metal bracelet on and paper clothes, and they're saying that they're afraid he's going to kill himself, but you leave him with metal? I didn't
listen
to say that.
Miss Sherry, they might be afraid that he's going to kill himself because they don't want one of their stars. Listen, I'm telling you, there are people that are there are CEOs that are probably patting them on the back. There are probably cops that are patting them on the back saying, good job.
Yep.
I'm thinking if he wanted to hurt himself, couldn't he unbend the metal and, you know, stab himself? Make a shank out of his metal bracelet that he's walking around with?
If he wanted to kill himself, he would have did it. He wouldn't have surrendered.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's
he wouldn't have surrendered. He would have took his own life.
Did you see the fashion that he surrendered himself in?
What did he do?
Did you see the way?
I can imagine.
You know what he did? As soon as he finished shooting, he took the gun, he was calm. He was calm. The police did.
Yeah.
They were very easy with him. They weren't rough with him or anything.
Nothing.
Why? Okay. Why should they be rough with them?
Why?
And this goes back, and I'm going to take you guys way back. Like the DJ said, we're going to go way back. Of course, you all remember the L.A. riots from 1992.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what led up to that riot, not to go all the way back, but what led up to that riot was – because I did the whole study with the whole L.A. riots when it happened back in 92. And I read a lot of books on it, a lot of stuff. So in Los Angeles, in the 70s, they started what was called the chokehold towards blacks. So they did this scientific experiment saying that, and this is bizarre, that blacks who took drugs were 10 times more violent than the average like white person, Hispanic person, or an Asian person, or whatever. Okay, so they did the chokehold because that's the only way to calm down a black person on drugs. The chokehold. What happened with the chokehold? They ended up killing more blacks with the chokehold than they would have ever imagined. So that notion. Okay, so they stopped. They banned the chokehold. No more chokehold. And my uncle, who's a retired homicide detective, he said to me, he goes, in these precincts, they consider when it's a black male, he is more barbaric than anyone else. And this is why whenever you see a single black male arrested, there's 10 cops on him. Because they're waiting for the animalistic part to come out of him, which is not always the case. But this is what they're trained to do. So the white guy is calm. This is what they're saying. I'm not agreeing. This is what they're saying. The white guy is calm. So when the white guy kills 35 people, 40 people, they
Hey, come on, let's go. Let's get into the car. Let's relax. Okay, you know, because he's not going to act all that, which is insane. And then, but he's black. Oh, watch it. He's an animal. He's a gorilla. He's this. He's that. You know, and
he's
they
a
fucking
thug.
Lose it.
They quit to
he's
say that.
He's a thug. Yeah, he's going to pull out a fucking a gun out of his neck. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
it's not fair.
You got to look. You got to look. You got to look where the source of information is coming from. Because once again, there's a history of violence in this country, and it's not us. From the takeover of this land, it wasn't us. We
right.
weren't brought here. We didn't just come here voluntarily.
No,
you stole. So with that being said, they can try and twist the narrative all they want to, but the mm-hmm. truth is the truth, and it's in their history books. His story, mm-hmm. their story, because you know what? They're not going to do something and not tell the story to get the glory, because that's what it's all about, is them getting the glory. So,
exactly.
Of course, they want to try and tweak it now because, you know, you got a different generation who's just looking at this like, oh, my gosh, like this is actually what happened. And, you know, they kind of look down on it. But, you know, the past is the past. History is history. I mean, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we can't continue. We can't even sit back here and really think or even accept the fact that, all right, so 10 cops on one black dude, and you're waiting for an animal to come out? No, what you're waiting for is a fear response, a response of fear, because we all have that fight or flight, you know,
right.
that instinct mm-hmm. within us. So all it's going to take is something to trigger it. And, of course, it's all about self-preservation, which is the first rule of the natural law. Self-preservation. Mm-hmm. You're going to defend yourself.
Can I say something real? Can I say something real quick? My name is Equanee. I'm from.
Hey, brother.
Carolina.
Long time no
hear. What's going on? What's
doing?
Going on,
bro?
What's going on?
What's
up,
man?
Going on?
Hello.
Take it away.
I just want to say this: that one thing that is a fact is that black folk. Melanated people, carbon being, Africans, however we see ourselves, we are very, very potent. We are very strong. I know a lot of times when I came up in the church, we would be able to be kind of funny because we talk about, make the comparison between going to white churches and black churches and how you can feel, even though it was a white Jesus in the back and therefore, you know, to white folks, they're in the home court because they're able to look at the figure in their own image, you understand? But they can't seem to muster up enough emotion that we actually put into the praise and worship, you understand? And I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody catching the Holy Ghost like us. Oh, hell.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man, we've been the noise when it comes to church.
Boy, ain't nobody catching the Holy Ghost like us.
And I don't really think that is church or that's anything, you know, just like when you see us as black folk and we're actually out there engaging as Muslims, man, those brothers do it like nobody else. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They definitely
right.
are only, you know, so I think even when we see the thugs, you understand, even on the worst end, man, the white boys may show you a level of thug, but then once we get that, and we learn how to do it, and we become that, we can do it better than anybody. So when you're
That's
talking
true.
About this thing that they're afraid of, this potential that lies dormant within us to become 10 times greater than them, it does exist. You understand? It does exist.
Mm-hmm.
We see that within Hussein
mm-hmm.
Bolt. You understand? No white man can come in comparison to running like, you know, one of the black men. You understand? One of the brothers. Even when we imagine a NFL league, with just white boys, you understand? We could, you know, we could. So when we're looking at the life or the force that we have as black folk, we do understand that is there, and that's something that has, you know, put fear inside the European for so long. And this is
because
why he's had to keep his foot on our neck.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Hold on.
That's true.
We got
that's
a
true.
Call of 4600. You on the air? 4600 just hung up. Sorry for the long wait. 4600. We gotta we got about 20 minutes left, and I do want to touch upon this topic real quick because, you know, we can go on and on and on about this whole, this kid, this young man, white male, mass shooting. We can go on for, like, for days about it, but the sad part is nothing is really going to change.
No,
because if they wanted it to change, it would have changed. If they really wanted it to change, it would have changed. But it's not going to change because it's their agenda. It is what
right.
it is.
Right.
They don't care.
That's true.
Lawmakers, they still got to keep making their money.
Mm-hmm.
They still, you know, they got to do what needs to be done just to get the votes. And when they get the votes, they go back to doing what they want to do. So
it's the same thing. Over and over.
Yeah, it's history. It's history.
Exactly.
So that's all it is. But one thing I do want to get at, you know, Miss Cherry, I don't want you out there having no abortions, okay? I want you having no abortions. I don't know why.
Can I just say something quick before you change the topic? I think
I
know we don't see, because I like to have discussions, but I also like solutions. So I said we as a people need to push the agenda to have African-Americans, Latino-Americans declared a society at risk when it comes to these type of crimes. The Asian
mm-hmm.
people, when they started becoming attacked, it took them 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not a protected
yeah.
class. It took them
nope,
1 year.
Not.
So as we sit here and we try to decide what we can do, that is something we can do. You can write and you can demand from your local politicians that you're voting for that you want us to be considered a protected class under the discrimination laws.
Absolutely. But wait a minute. I love it. But wait a minute. I got one for you, Ms. Jerry, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we'll protect you when you start. We'll protect you when you start giving a damn about yourselves. Because, you know, they always throw that
when
at
you.
You
stop killing
they
your
always
own.
Throw that
mm-hmm.
at you. Yeah, when you stop killing your own, then, you know,
we'll stop killing you.
They always throw that at
yeah.
us.
We'll stop killing you.
So,
yeah, stop.
So that is what we use to distract and divide us amongst each other. If you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. But I do, and we should encourage other people. I mean, you have to have people
absolutely.
That are willing just to say,
you
contact
absolutely.
Your local politicians, tell them this is what we want. The more pressure they have because they want to come back in office, they want our vote, you're going to start seeing things happen. Don't let somebody tell you not to
you're
even
right.
try.
Because
if you don't try,
yeah.
you're going to fail.
You're
I
right.
wish if we had
now
that conversation.
Back to the abortion
with,
thing.
Right. I had that same kind of conversation with my sons. It's like, how is it that with my son over a friend of his that says something, he's Puerto Rican. And my thing is, like, listen, I don't know where this young man is getting it from. Well, I do know, but at the same time, I told him, you have to learn to protect yourself. I don't care if he's your friend, but you have to let him know that, listen, you're not going to keep saying certain things and acting like you are not of the same race or class I'm in.
Right.
You understand? So, and me and my son had to kind of get, because he kind of, like, said, oh, well, Ma, he just jokes. No, no, no. I said, I don't give a damn. That's the point. You're letting him joke about that. I said, but if you said something about his people, I said, everybody on that goddamn Facebook page just would have jumped down your goddamn throat. I said, so no, just as Ms. Sherry said, we need to be protected as well, and that's the sad part about our own people. You know, our own people don't even see that as we need to be protected. Like, when are you going to see that? But everybody else can get their you know, their people's protected. Once again, like how?
Mm-hmm.
How
well,
is this happening
well,
and we're not even doing that for ourselves?
Well, you know, blacks and Latinos are always going to be the lowest on the totem pole. And blacks are always going to be the lower, you know. And
right, that's what
that's,
I thought basically
just,
told him.
That's just what it is. You know, that in some cases, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, real quick, because I know we was jumping into the next topic. But, you know,
yeah.
it, depending on the color of your skin, you know, you may get treated a certain way, you know.
True.
If
True.
You're, you know, it
Absolutely.
Depends on your skin color, your skin
uh-huh.
tone. You know, that's just what it is. So, and that's, to me, I don't think that's really ever going to stop. It's not like I disagree with you, Ms. Cherry, at all. I mean, I do believe that we really need to become more proactive in in saving ourselves instead of being reactive and wanting to rally and march when something happens. And, you know, they just sit back and be like, oh, let them, you know, yell for a week and then they'll go away. Because when we rally, we don't stop.
But that's anything. What we do.
Back in the civil rights era, they took down the damn bus line. You know, it was like, hey, listen, we can't, you're losing money. Hit them in the pockets. But we don't do that. But, you know, I digress. You know, but.
Yeah,
Miss Cherry, yeah. So Roe versus Wade, why are they talking about this again? Why? Why?
Well, say Roe versus Wade was kind of, they were addressing it when Donald Trump put in that Supreme Court justice. That was one of the reasons why. We knew it was coming up. We knew it was coming up, and they wanted to tilt the Supreme Court. So that's why they were pushing to get her in there. The only thing is we were all distracted by COVID. A lot of people were distracted by COVID during the time, and they weren't paying attention. So now that COVID is no longer the thing you see every time you turn on the TV, there are other things that are starting to surface.
Oh, yes,
they tried to distract us with the Ukrainian
war. Yes, it is. It still is.
Yeah. We were focused on the Ukrainian war, and here we are, Roe versus Wade. They're overturning things in Texas. They're trying to overturn it in Florida. It's just, you know, we weren't paying attention. A lot of people weren't paying attention.
My thing is, all right, I'm not a supporter, you know, of abortion, but I am a supporter of it's your life, it's your body. You do what you see fit. It ain't none of, you know, it ain't none of my goddamn business. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you do is on you. But I don't understand. I really don't see the purpose of this becoming an issue unless, like, what's the agenda? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm at the point where I want to ask why. Like, why? Like, what else is going on? Because it's deeper than just Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, the agenda has always been control, right? And the thing is, if you're pro, I'm pro-choice, right? I feel that you need to be able to make that choice because I don't want to feed your kid and I don't want to take care of your kid. And if you don't want to do it, who's going to do it? So as we have these males that are making these decisions, they also need to say, okay, we're not going to allow you to have that choice. But what we do have is a plan for that child that you've already said you don't want. I don't know if that plan has to involve that child being taken care of until they can take care of themselves. They have not addressed that yet. They're just saying you can't do this, and now we're going to force you to take on a responsibility that you already said you didn't want from day one. So that's my problem with it. It's like if you're going to ban it and make abortions illegal and take that power out of that person's hands, you need to come up with a plan for these children that are being born into this world that the parents have already said, we don't want this. We don't want to be responsible. We don't want to raise them. We don't want to go through anything. What is the plan of government to cover these children?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I said, I don't understand where all this came up from out of nowhere. Like I said, yeah, when you talk about the parents, still talking about the pandemic, but now you want to try to tell a woman what she's supposed to do with her body in terms of, you know, getting pregnant. Like, what the hell is that about? Like, I feel like we back in 1950-something.
You know what? Right? I'll say this. Male politicians, as a man, it's not your place to be telling a woman what she can or what she shouldn't do with her body. You're not the one walking around pregnant. So I don't see what the big deal is. And you know what it is, people, and I'll say this quickly. Unfortunately, religion plays a major role in it.
It does.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hypocrisy within religion. Yeah. They're the ones that, abortion is wrong, but yet, Deacon so-and-so just slept with another man's wife and got, and it's like, what? You pregnant? No, you got to get rid of that. Please get rid of it.
So you know what? So where's the church? So where's religion and where's the church? I mean, I don't mean to revert back, but where's the religion and where's the church when it comes down to this these mass shooters?
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, they're silent.
Yeah. I don't hear them saying anything.
Yeah, me neither.
They're all up in telling women what to do, but yet you don't hear them talking anything about these violent acts.
Whatever's
easy for them.
But they feel like, oh, that's not our fight. That's not our fight.
That
has nothing to do with us.
How?
Okay, if you're about peace, if you're about love and peace, why don't you address the gun violence? You're not addressing it.
Listen, if you really want to get deep, but we're not going to get too deep. I mean, if you really look at certain aspects of religion, where is there no violence?
No violence. Right.
Mm-hmm.
At all. You never hear it.
Where is there no violence? There's some sort of violence somewhere in a lot of religious texts. It's there. So where's the real peace at?
Where's the
real peace? Anybody's belief. Yeah,
it's not at all.
Anybody's belief. But the whole thing is like, listen, if we're going to call a spade, I mean, we have to stop, you know, like, we got to stop with the bullshit. Simple and plain. But that's one thing people are not going to do. They're not going to stop with the bullshit because they once again, it's about their agenda. You know, certain people have an agenda and they're willing to see it through. So if you're not going to say anything about a white male who's out there with an AR-15 shooting at people, but you're going to want to say something about all these women, you know, they don't need to have a right to choose. So you're trying to tell me if there's a little girl out there that gets raped or molested, and you know, or a young girl that gets raped or molested, and but she has to have the baby of the person that molested or raped her?
Right. You know what that does to a girl? That's the worst thing
You know what? I'm not a female. I won't never know. Don't want to know. But it would put me in the frame of mind of Ben, as Ben was, when it came down to his daughter. I know if it happened to mine. Listen, I can't say I would be as nice as Ben was.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Depending on the situation, I just can't. But wait a minute.
You probably wouldn't be there for your daughter because they would lock you up. And then she'd be vulnerable on the
street. Yeah, you would end up.
That's how it would end. They would lock you up, and then she'd have to grow up without a dad or come visit you behind bars.
Especially
the fact that homeboy was a white dude from Ohio who thought he was ghetto as fuck. And he was like, hey, man, in Ohio, you know, we will take no one. I was like, bro, save that. Save it, bro. You don't even know where the hell I'm from. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, save it. But if I decked him and beat him down because he's a white dude and I'm Hispanic, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to think about that. I will be put through the system so far, it would be crazy. And here I am trying, you know, here I am not thinking and saying, I'm going to beat this dude up. I don't care because my daughter's involved with this shit. I'm messing this dude up.
But
and
Ben,
all of a sudden... It's, you know, yeah, no, I dig it. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
No, Ben, be honest with you. I mean, you know what? We got it twisted. And it's twisted in a bad way. I don't think you're wrong. The system will have you believe that you're wrong for your actions.
Right.
The system will tell you that you're barbaric. But look what the system allows. So once again, who is the real barbarian? Who's really wrong? So the whole thing is before these whole systems of law and government, and listen, man had land to rule and certain things that were just done that today would be like, oh my gosh, that's uncivilized. One day I had a conversation with somebody and someone told me, oh, we had an argument actually. And he said, we live in a civilized, I said, no, we don't. He said, why, how are we not civilized? I said, we carry weapons. We go to war. We don't sit down and talk about things. Everything is handled by violence.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, the sad part is people respect violence. That's the sad part. There's a lot of humans out there that respect violence. So if you go out there and do something and you're met with violence, it's just like, remember Ben back in the days, somebody messing with you and cracking jokes, and the next thing you know, you know, you start getting an attitude. Why are you acting like that, man? I was just joking. Were you joking?
Right.
Because now that it got real, now you want to stop.
Now you want to stop. Yeah.
Yep.
So you saw the heat coming on.
But, and see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't want that heat, man.
You're right about that.
A lot of people, they don't want that heat. So that's why the law came into play to stop people from going out there issuing that heat.
Exactly.
You see all the crime
going on right
now, all these things going on, popping off in the subways and stuff like that in New York. I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before Bernard
gets like a ticking time bomb. It's a ticking time bomb.
When somebody pulls the Bernard Getz move and start getting on the vigilanteism type stuff, and then other people start following suit, that's when the law is going to want to do something. And then they're going to want to tell people who's sick and tired, no, you can't be sick and tired. Leave it to the police. No, not everybody's going to leave everything to the police.
Right.
Because not the police are not always there. And nowadays, I believe in New York they have gotten rid of qualified immunity. You got these cops out here that are just like, nah, I ain't doing shit. You're not going to get my pension. You're not going to mess up my life.
What still plays in their mind is that defund the police that people were chanting. They're like, oh, well, you want to defund us? All right, fine. You're just going to sit back and relax and let things happen.
And that was the attitude.
But see, that's the thing.
Yes.
But yeah, it was an attitude. But the whole thing was, see, that's the thing. People say stuff, but a lot of people don't interpret the wording. Defunding the police didn't mean taking things away from them. There's certain things that they just didn't have to have. What do they need tanks for? What did they need military-style weapons for? Like, what did they
need? They didn't need none of it.
At all. Why are taxpayers paying for them to have these toys, as they would call them?
The thing is, we were looking at defunding the police, right? And reallocating that money directly into the community. So now instead of the police having the enhanced weapons, you now have money for a community program where the kids are not on the street.
Right.
They didn't want to give that up. And the real truth is the control has to come from the community. Right now we're mad at the people that are coming in and oppressing us because they won't come in and oppress us. It's up to our men, our women, to be examples for our kids and police our own community.
Right.
The problem is.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Well, as much as that's a good idea, you know, it's, you know what, there's so many things we can say. There's so many things we can try to do and want to implement.
Right.
But, you know, trying to get everyone on the same page.
No, you're right.
It's not
that difficult. When you look on TV and you see these kids shooting up, somebody recognizes their kids. Plain and simple. You look at the news, you see five kids up there shooting around the place. You know your child has that jacket. You know that's the child up there. Now, what are you going to do about it? Act like you don't know? Your neighbors know who he is, too.
Right.
We got to get out of that stitches, and we got to start thinking about we need to make our community safe where now we can go and take our kids to the park without getting shot. They can come home from school and walk down the block without getting shot in the back and killed. The little 11-year-old could be standing in front of a bodega. I mean, how does that make you brave to close your mouth about it? It reminds me, what was that thing with Robert Townsend, that movie? Where he was like a superhero and
Media
all
Man.
The black people were scared.
Media Man.
That's exactly what we look like, the townspeople, Media Man, watching the crimes go and scared to do something about it.
I remember when I was living in Staten Island, when I left Queens, I moved to Brooklyn, growing up with Byron. I was raised with him in Queens, New York. And then after 91, I moved, you know, the family moved to Brooklyn. And then after that, I had gotten married and went to Staten Island. So I have a graffiti background. I also do graffiti. Byron mentioned at the beginning of the show that I did a lot of BMX, which I kind of still do. You know, BMX riding, you know, jumping off stuff and stuff. My fat ass is still jumping off shit. I'm still at it, you know. So... If you look at it,
I remember I bought a townhouse. All right. I bought a townhouse, two bedrooms, two level, with a little garage. So my stepson at the time, you know, he had a little friends and stuff. They were in junior high school. And me having a graffiti background, I wake up on a Saturday, and my then wife was downstairs screaming, top of her lungs. And getting back to what you were saying, I wake up, and it's a Saturday. I'm like, "What, woman, what the hell are you screaming? Woman?" And she's like, "Come down here and look at this shit." And I'm like, "What?" So I come downstairs, and I see the garage is tagged up. Some kids tagged up the garage. And I'm like, I start laughing. I'm like, "Oh, shit, they tagged them. Oh, you think it's funny?" And I'm like, "Well, I just go get some bucket paint from Home Depot, and I'll just paint over it. You know, that's all."
Mm-hmm.
So right. My neighbor, here's the kicker. My neighbor across the street, big Italian guy, he's like, "Oh, he's talking graffiti writers, you know." I was like, "Yeah, if I catch one of them, I beat them up, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "Okay, if I see any of these skateboarders over here, I beat them up," and I ask them a question. I said, "What would you do to the gang that's terrorizing the neighborhood? What would you do with them?" He said, "Nothing."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "You know why? Because you pick your fights. You know who to pick on. So you'll beat up a skateboarder, you'll beat up a graffiti writer, but you won't dare go to them group of guys in the corner that's terrorizing the neighborhood. Why would you?" "Well, you know, I got kids." "So what? That skateboarder can come back and beat the shit out of you the same way they could." "Don't underestimate them because they're riding a fucking skateboard. They can fight just as the gangsters can."
"That's right, so, the skateboard is hard."
"Yeah. And then, well, you get hit with one of them joints. I got hit over the head with one of them joints doing tricks. Imagine by somebody else." So my example to that whole story is they pick who they want to pick on. And this is the reason why the crime and you know, the fight on crime is nothing. And this is the reason why, going back to the topic about the abortion, it's easier to talk about abortion than it is to talk about the real issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to deter people and go, "Well, this is really what's happening. This is really what's messing us up. But why are you getting an abortion?" What the hell does that have to do with anything that we're really going through? And this is why they brought up this whole abortion thing again, so they can prey on the weak-minded and twist us all around and us going, "Yeah, that's right. Abortion. Listen, me and Byron haven't heard about abortion since 1988. To be honest.
You know, really.
Right? I haven't heard nothing about in the 90s. Me and Byron grew up in the 80s. But nothing in the 90s, early 2000s. I haven't heard nothing about abortion. And then Roe versus Wade again now.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking on the weak subject. You're not picking on the actual subject, on the matter of the thing that's ruining our communities. You're not picking on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem. That's the thing that irks me so much. It's like, no, get to this. The hell with that. That's my whole thing. You know?
I got
of course, abortion is a big problem. Of course it is. You know, it's a, you know, oh, they're killing babies, blah, 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 all this other stuff and whatever. You know, like Byron said, do what you want to do. You know, it's your body, this and that and the third. I agree. But it's like, is it really that? Is abortion really affecting our economy, community, lifestyle? No. Crime is. And so you're not dealing with that. You're dealing with the weaker portion. And that shit is just like, what the? That's like my girl going, "So did you cheat on me?" Well, I painted the front yard. It has nothing to do with her question. You know, like, you know, I threw out the garbage. I threw out the garbage, honey. I mowed the lawn. No, I asked, "Did you cheat on me?" "I changed your flat tire." No. hit on the subject. Yes, that's what they do. That's what they do to minorities is distraction. It's complete distraction because at the end of the day, this government has us as less, and they have us, and they will always have us that this way because we are easily manipulated. But this group that we have tonight, we're not easily manipulated. And there's very few of us that are not easily manipulated, but there's a lot that are.
And
that shit just fucking, I'm sorry to curse, but it just drives me up the fucking wall. Like, oh, my God. It's just,
I got you.
Oh, boy.
But
oh my God.
We are out of time.
Ben, Byron, you are the man. I'm glad I'm here, man. I got to join more of your stuff, man. It's the first time.
Oh, no doubt. You're always welcome.
Glad to have you.
Always welcome.
Thank glad
you.
To
Sherry,
have you.
Equally, Mr. Joe.
You're all wonderful people. You're all wonderful people. Thank you all.
Hey, dog.
Now, Ben, stay blessed.
Word.
Be blessed. Nice. Be safe out there. Everybody have a good night. Be safe.
Be safe.
And,
all right. You know, God bless you all.
Just pray.
God bless you all.
Pray. No doubt.
Right.
You too, brother.
That's right.
All right.
Definitely.
One love.
Thank
one
you,
love.
Everybody.
Enjoy your
time.
Week.
Right, have a good night. You guys have a good
all right.
week.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Good night.